right, back here on OMF, we are live, as we are every Monday down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Time for us to sit down, talk with Bill Belichick. It's all brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, every day amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarlane Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work, and by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. How you doing, Bill?
Glenn, Kristen,
hey, Coach. Coach, good.
All right.
Doing the best we can, I guess, right? That's the way to, best way to do it. So last week, Bill, we talked about uncharacteristic things, things that Patriot teams don't do. This week, 14 accepted penalties. Apparently, 8 of those were pre-snap. Does that bother you? I mean, I heard you talk about it after the game, and you said, hey, the guys don't want to, you know, commit penalties. I get that. But is there a focus issue, especially with the pre-snap penalties?
Yeah, you never want to commit any penalties. So we haven't been a heavily penalized team, but we were yesterday, so got to correct that. That's not what we want.
But when something happens like that, when you're not accustomed to doing it, do you look at it and say, why? And why does it suddenly happen out of nowhere?
Yeah, well, again, there are different circumstances on each of those plays. But the bottom line is we can't do that, so.
I mean, do you? I mean, I guess after I watched the game a second time, I looked at it and said, "Well, I didn't feel as bad as I did when I saw it live because those issues are fixable. It's not like guys were getting killed or whiffing on blocks, procedural penalties, like stuff that you go over day one. Does that make the situation feel a little bit better knowing that you can correct this just with a little bit of effort?
Well, if we do it, yeah, we got to do it.
Do you think that there's anything to penalties like, you know, procedural penalties, like one guy has them and then another guy has them? It's almost like it's contagious. Like it just, you can't stop it?
No.
It's not a disease.
Well, I know. It's sometimes it's like, you know, it's just like not your day. I don't know.
Well, the other killer too, Bill, was that they came I don't know if you could get a rhythm into your offense. You seemed to move the football. You made some big plays, and then suddenly they're taking the ball back 10 yards. I mean, it seemed to, they all seem to happen at the absolute worst time. If there is a good time.
Yeah, there's no good time, right, for penalties. So, we just got to work harder to eliminate them.
So, Bill, earlier in the week, you're talking about these two wide receivers they had, you know, Juju and Antonio, elite guys, I think you called them. And they are. And you guys, you know, pretty much, I think, contained them. I think your secondary played great. But did that come with a cost? Were you guys, secondary-wise, you know, did you almost cede the run in a sense to where you had so much, you know, attention to those wide receivers that that's why they ran the ball so effectively?
Well, look, they're a good offense. They do a lot of things well. They run it well. They throw it well. They have great players and obviously a great quarterback, good scheme. So they give you a lot of problems. So we did what we thought was best, and I think the players, you know, competed hard. They made some plays. You know, we made some. They made a few more than we did, but I thought it was competitive.
A guy like Jalen Samuels, is that a guy that, I mean, there's not that much film on him running style. Does that come into play at all, or is it just running the football, period, trying to stop that?
Yeah, well, again, it's everything that they do. So, you know, you can stop one thing and be light on something else. So, you know, everybody, look, there's no one guy you got to stop in that offense. You got to stop everybody. And they have a very good offensive line. So, we just have to coach it and play it better.
I thought J.C. Jackson had a really good game for you guys. You know, it seems like they tested him early, had that huge play in the fourth quarter. Can you just talk maybe just his growth so far since he's been here?
Yeah, J.C. works hard. He's been out there every day. Tough kid. And just keeps getting better. So like any rookie, he makes mistakes, but he corrects them and usually doesn't make the same one repetitively. So that's a good thing.
Can you kind of run down the last few plays? Because listening to Brady this morning, it sounded like he was intent on getting the ball into the end zone, and that probably was what you guys were sending in there, as opposed to moving it, maybe getting somebody to go out of bounds, maybe James White on one play, and getting an opportunity to get closer to the end zone. What were you guys doing? And the clock was tight, obviously. You had very little time.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they were the way they were configured. I don't think it would have been really easy to get the ball out of bounds. You know, we ran plays where we had multiple options on the play and tried to take the best option. And possibly if we'd hit one of those, you know, down to the 5-yard line or something like that, we could have got down there and clocked it early in the drive and had time for one more play. But, you know, after a couple incompletions, then that's really not an option for you anymore. So then you've got to get out of bounds or throw it in the end zone.
One of the better, I guess, special teams plays I've seen in a long period of time with Jonathan Jones, then to Rex Burkhead. Slater avoids it. And then Joe actually ends up downing the ball. I mean, that was about as good as you can draw it up.
Yeah, it was a great effort by those guys, and you know, really good awareness of the goal line, and good skill to kind of tap the ball back in the field of play without stepping in the end zone, and so forth. So that was a good play.
What did you see as far as Pittsburgh? What they did with Rob Gronkowski? So it ran free, looked like down in Miami, but. Spacing wasn't there. The targets weren't there. Just a different performance from him. Did they do something differently or something that you saw?
I think Pittsburgh, I mean, they kind of do what they do. They mix it up. They doubled him in some situations. Well, they're certainly aware of him. But they mixed it. You know, they mixed it up.
And did they do the same things? I know Josh Gordon was another guy that maybe wasn't as involved as we've seen him in the past. Was it paid a little bit of attention to him? We saw in that touchdown, they had three guys covering him on Hogan's touchdown, but maybe paying more attention to him.
Yeah, I mean, again,
well.
Each play is its own play. So there were times when they double-covered one of those players. There are times when they double-covered both of them. There are plenty of times when they're in zone or when they're in single coverage. It just depends on what play we happen to have called and how it played out.
I know you always talk about every year is different, and what people are doing today, including your buddy Mike Lombardi, is they're dipping back to that football life where they had you mic'd up in the sidelines in New Orleans. That team couldn't win on the road. I think they were 2-6 on the road, and you were quoted as saying, I can't get these guys to do what they want. And a lot of people, including Lombardi, are saying that's what Bill's problem is right now. He can't get these guys to do what they want them to do. Is this different, Bill, or is this similar to 2009?
Oh, yeah, well, it's a lot different from 2009. But, you know, look, we'll see what happens. There's still a lot of football left this year. And, you know, I know our guys are very dedicated, work hard. Nobody feels good today, nor should we. And we'll see what we can do this week.
During the telecast, Tony Romo made, mentioned that The one of the ways to get Gronk involved in the offense is through play action, especially obviously off the run, because defense is doing such a good job covering him, doubling him. Do you feel like that's accurate as far as, like, you know, that's the way you're morphing into getting him the ball, is really establishing the run first in order to run some play action, those linebackers committing and getting them freed up?
Yeah, well, of course, the play actions go with a running game, so those type of plays complement each other. Again, we don't necessarily call pass plays unless it's a screen play to throw the ball to one particular player. So depends on how they react to a play and who's going where and what the options are for the quarterback. Tom makes great decisions on where to go with the ball. So yeah, I mean, the running game certainly is complemented by a play-action passing game and vice versa.
No, I was just wondering, Tom Brady, you know, you mentioned him in the last couple of weeks, kind of uncharacteristic things. End of the first half at Miami, the touchdown, the end zone, the interception rather than the red zone. We were talking before, like, is there a fine line between, because, you know, the fact that he's there every single week is one of the great things of Tom Brady, but is there a fine line of maybe avoiding contact, you know, and still kind of finishing plays or not giving up on plays?
I'm not following you.
Rather than take sacks or take hits, it seems like he's been off balance and making throws. Like that last play, he was almost to the ground and didn't seem like anybody was about to hit him. It just seems like he's being overly cautious in that pocket.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody's made better decisions than Tom Brady has in the last 19 years or 18 years, whatever it's been. So He sees the field well. He does a great job with our offense and is a great decision maker. In a game like yesterday, all of us that participated in the game, players, coaches, there's a handful of plays we'd all like to have back. I have them. I'm sure Tom has them. I'm sure every other player that participated feels the same way. So that's what happens in a game like that. There's always one or two that you know, wish you could have done a little bit differently. And like I said, I feel that way. I know everybody else does too.
So you just talked about guys not feeling good here today. The good news is you got another game. You get to play next Sunday. By the way, another pretty good defensive team. So do you have to spend more time on this, Bill? Or can you convince players to do what you always seem to do, and that's we're on to Buffalo?
Oh, we'll be on to Buffalo. Yeah, we'll be on them probably within an hour or so, since we finish up with Pittsburgh. Yep.
But you don't have trouble trying to get guys to forget something like that, because you want them to forget it, I would think, right? Or don't you?
Well, I mean, I think we all want to learn from our mistakes, and you know, there will be things that will come up in this game that came up last week. There always are. There'll be plenty of things that are new because it's a different team and different players and so forth, but there'll be some carryover in certain areas, whether it be a play, a scheme, or a technique, or a situation. So we always want to try to learn from – that's why we watch the film, so we can learn from things that happened, and if they happen again, and it could be copycatted by the next opponent, they could do something that the team before did because it worked. If you don't correct it, it'll probably work again. So that's why it's important to do the corrections and make sure everybody understands the situations and so forth. But once that's over, then you move on to your new opponent and start getting ready for them.
See, I think I would take the glasses half full approach based on the Miami game was really almost like a once in a lifetime type of thing. But after watching this film, I guess I would be optimistic knowing that we're better than that. We're better than what we put that product that we put out in the field, and we still have a lot of opportunities to show it. All right, there's still so many things. Like last week, you mentioned how like nobody died, and you still have all your goals in front of you. So I guess are they optimistic? Are they feeling sorry for themselves, or is it still onward and let's reach our goals?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is. There's nothing to feel sorry about. I mean, we are where we are because of what we did or didn't do. And our opportunity this week is against Buffalo, and that's all we can control, and that's what we're going to start to work on.
We were just talking about it. I guess you can look at any TV nationally. They're always questioning the Pats, you guys right now, because it was so accustomed to, I think, 12-4, 13-3, back-to-back losses in December, I think the first time since Christian played, I think 2002. So it does seem odd, I think, for most people outside looking at this team at 9-5 right now, two losses in December. Does it feel different for you? It's been so long since you've lost two in December this time of year.
Yeah, right now I'm really just thinking about Buffalo and do the best I can to get our team ready to go on Sunday against them. What happened last week or 2 weeks ago or in 2002, I don't think really what happened in 2002 has much bearing on this week's game. With all due respect.
Josh Allen, speaking of Buffalo, didn't see him in the first game. Did you guys take a look at him at all during the drafting process to get some information on him? He's running a lot. I don't know if he's your prototypical running quarterback, but the yards are there. What do you see in him so far with the tape you've looked at?
Well, we saw him. We knew he was declared out of our game, but we saw him in other games as we prepared for Buffalo and the rest of the team. So, very athletic guy. Can make all the throws. Has an excellent arm and very mobile in the pocket. And they're different than they were 8 weeks ago or whenever it was, 6 weeks ago, whenever we played them. Different receivers, and he's done a great job of coming in and kind of changing the type of offense that they ran when we saw when they were in the quarterback period that we saw prior to our game and in our game. Now it's, I'd say, a much more scrambles, more loose plays, more deep balls, and still a good, solid running game. So they've been very explosive offensively.
Put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, too, don't they?
Well, they're a good defense. They run the Carolina system, as we know, and Coach McDermott does a great job with that, and he always has. And we always have trouble with Buffalo because they're so well-schooled. They're very fundamentally sound. They make you earn everything, and they mix it up on it with a lot of different types of coverages, man, zone, combination man and zone, split safety, post safety, pressure from the corner or the secondary, pressure from the linebackers. So they give you a lot of different looks, and but do it well, and it complements each other. So you know, everybody will have to be on their toes this week.
All right, so we're going to wrap things up with our Mercedes-Benz play / drive of the week. Coach, what do you think was the best play or drive of this game? It can be a special teams play.
Yeah, that was a good play. Yeah, that was a good play. The John made a great play to get up off the ground and have the presence to obviously jump in the field of play to keep the ball alive, couldn't get all the way back. And Rex did the same thing. He was able to leave his feet in the field of play, but get the ball back to where it could be down. So that was an excellent play.
Okay. All right, so that was our drive of the week. That was brought to you by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
Our conversation with the coach brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on and off the field. All right, Bill, good luck next week against Buffalo.
All right, sounds good. Thanks. See you next week.
You got it. Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Do you think that there's anything to penalties like, procedural penalties, like one guy has them and then another guy has them? It's almost like it's contagious. Like it's just, you can't stop it.
No.
It's not a disease.
Well, I know. It's sometimes it's like, it's just like not your day. I don't know.
Well, the other killer too, Bill, was that day Fourier. You said, Bill's going to be in a good mood today. Good mood. How many times, Lou, did he sit there and say to Beth, but Bill, the glass is half full. It's not half empty.
I was trying
it's
to
half full.
Put some positivity on it.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. Jeez. It is contagious. It is.
The guy said no.
There's a stop the bleeding that they can't do effect that happens. One guy does it. The next guy does it, then the guard does it, then this guy does it, then that guy does it.
No.
It's almost an accountability issue. No. Oh, well, he doesn't have to be accountable, and he's jumping off sides. Well, I guess I can kind of not be accountable and jump off sides also. No. I say BS. Boy. I say yes.
A lot of talk. I didn't hear a lot of talk when the coach was
still around.
I will say I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I really thought that he would come in with it. Just a different thing. Listen, nope. Nobody died.
Yeah, but
nobody died.
Nobody did die, but I don't know how you can look at that game, look at what your track record has been on the road, where you're a different team than you are at home. Where you can look at your offense that when they go on the road, they can only score 10 points. And these aren't really good teams we're talking about. You tell me how you can feel really good about it. Now, he's got to find a way of making it better because that's his job, but I don't know how you can feel good about it.
Well, to your point, Christian, I guess if you were to ask me, what kind of game would you rather see? Would you rather just see your team being manhandled? Or would you rather see, eight pre-snap penalties and sit there and say, well, hopefully those are fixable? But I throw the word hopefully in there, right? Because it's not like we've seen this from this team all year long. You know, coming in, they don't get penalized like this. But you do have to wonder if now you're talking. See, when you're talking about is it contagious, it's more of guys are pressing, right? Because others are making mistakes. So now it's almost
whatever you do,
don't jump off sides.
Yeah. No.
Whatever you do, don't illegal motion. Don't. And next thing you know, you are.
Yeah, and you're trying so hard not to be that guy, then you end up being that
guy.
And the other thing is that this is a good team. They're not a bad. That offensive line is not bad. So they create and they're not getting manhandled. They're not like whiffing on blocks. Trent Brown should have let go on Sony Michel's long run. Should have let go of the guy, the defense end. He was blocking. The arm tackles aren't going to bring down Sony Michel. The procedural penalties. All right, I'm looking at it going, What are you doing? You're a smart football player. Why are you being dumb?
Yeah, but see, that's but if you're Bill Belichick, what would you rather see? I mean, sometimes if you just can't win a one-on-one matchup, you might look at it and just say, you know what? How can I scream and yell at this guy? He got beat. Maybe he's not good enough. Or things like that type of game would piss me off even more, because now that's a reflection on the coaching. That's a reflection on maybe not getting guys mentally ready to play the game or making mental mistakes. That would piss me off more as a coach.
See, you can't teach a guy to be a good player. At this point in time, either you're good or you're
right.
not.
So I'm just saying, if you get beat one-on-one, if Juju beats you or Antonio Brown beats you or a defensive end just beats your tackle or beats somebody, you're like, hey, well, I mean, what can I do?
Yeah, he ran a good route.
He got beat. You know, I don't know if he's good enough to fix it.
But guys,
mental mistakes like that, penalties, pre-snap, that should piss you off as a coach.
Okay, but coming into that game, and I don't know if it's still the same, they were the best in the league at penalties, the least penalized team in the league. All right? So that was maybe a one-game problem that we're not going to see on a regular basis. Here's the one that, to me, is scary. How is this team right now? And we're going by points, because Belichick has always said it's all about points, not about yards, both offensively and defensively. How is it that this New England Patriot team is seventh in the NFL? At the beginning of the season, we talked about a defense that could be okay, and they are right now. I think they're 12th in the league, something like that. They're okay. Okay, they gave up the run an awful lot, but try throwing against them, and it is a throwing league, and the teams you're going to face are going to throw the ball an awful lot. But I look at the list of teams that are ahead of them on offense right now, and they all have something in common. Kansas City, New Orleans, the L.A. Rams, the L.A. Chargers, Pittsburgh, Chicago. They're all playoff teams, right? They're all playoff teams. You're not going to get that with looking at defense. This team should be much better than the seventh best offense, because they were built that way. They weren't built to be a dynamite defense, a number one top five defense. They weren't built to be that. They were built to outscore you, and yet they go on the road and they're scoring 10 points a game.
You're healthier than you've been all year. You've had lots of opportunities.
That's the issue. Not the penalties.
Nobody's banged up. You would be thinking that, wow, this is just like years past. Right, they're healthy, and here we go. It's November, and here we go into December, and they've starting to kind of figure things out, identify who they are. You know, take over games physically, mentally, just demoralize teams. They don't do it.
So why doesn't it happen?
Are they a bunch of good players that just aren't playing well? Is it Brady's fault? Is it Josh McDaniels' fault?
See, I'm not so sure they built this team to do that though.
Sure they did.
Well, I think that's what they rely on offensively, because they have Tom. I think you could say last year they built this team to do that. You know, last year when they had their running backs and they had, you know, and they built this team, right? And they had Edelman and they had Amendola and they had Gronk and they went out and got Brandon Cooks and they still had a side order of Hogan. Then you could sit there and say, okay, that's the team they built to go out there and throw the hell out of the ball and to outscore you. This year, when you look at some of the additions and subtractions, it almost seems like they're like, okay, we're going to run the football. You know, they drafted a running back. They drafted an offensive lineman early in the draft. They lost Amendola and said, okay, well, I guess we're going to have Edelman back. But as far as depth building going into the season last year, you know, they thought they had Edelman and Amendola. And then they still went out and got Cooks. This offseason, almost like they transitioned into, okay, we're going to have to run the football a little bit more. Because of some of the weapons we lost offensively, maybe we're not going to be as high scoring as we have been in the past.
Well, even that, I mean, and they're not running to run. They're running to set up the pass still. I mean, you talked about this weeks ago. You said we could be talking, once they're healthy, about going from having questionable receivers to maybe having the best weapons in the
league. That was about week five, week six, though.
Okay, but they have all these guys now.
Yeah.
And Gordon turned out, you were right about Gordon. He turned out to be a hell of a lot better than anybody, than we certainly thought about him. You and I were wrong about him.
I don't know.
It's not over. The book's not complete.
I don't know.
No, the book's not complete.
I don't know.
We're only in chapter 12. The book's not complete.
Why was he, since this guy has been on this team, every single post game, he's been up at that podium and he takes his four questions and then he walks off. Four questions, no more, no less. Stacey James brings him off. Since he's been here, so suddenly he's not at the press conference. He's not going to take four questions. And he doesn't talk to anybody, just sneaks out the back door. What's that about? No, I'm asking you a question. What is that about? Why do you all of a sudden decide that But you've lost games earlier in the year, so it's not like the first time you've lost and you just can't emotionally handle it. So why aren't you at the post-game press conference?
Okay, so do you
think he in trouble? Is he acting out?
Okay. You're giving us a bunch of obvious choices. And he wasn't part of that last play. They brought Patterson in.
Weird.
Who had played only four plays before that. Okay? Four plays before that. So was there an issue? Was there a problem? Or,
I don't know.
Or was it that just on that play, they like Patterson and that vertical route, that play, that specific play, they like Patterson and they don't like Gordon? All of that is...
Yeah, obviously that game didn't help my case. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think you'd admit that he's a lot closer to my scenario than yours.
Well, I mean...
I'm better than you. I may not be perfect, but I'm still better than you.
40 catches, 720 yards with a couple games to go. It's not 25 catches and 300 yards. So, I mean, he's produced more. And you're right. I mean, you know, you got... Listen, Gordon's healthy. Hogan's healthy. Edelman is healthy. Gronk, hey, whatever. I don't know what he is. Maybe he's not the same guy, but James White's there. Sony Michel's healthy. And offensively, you're not getting the job done. So then now, you can look at the quarterback. And I, you know, asking Bill about whether Tom Brady's overly cautious, and he gives me the resume on Tom Brady. I know what Tom Brady is the last 18, 19 years. We all do.
Well, he just wanted to educate you.
Right, but the question
isn't
really about what he was like 10 years ago, 18 years ago, 5 years ago, hell, 6 games ago. It's more about what we've seen lately. Maybe after the bye week, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, even in Tennessee, overly cautious in the pocket. I think everybody sees this.
Yeah, but Bill's not going to...
He's falling to the ground while making throws. Right.
And my guess is that he just doesn't want to be quoted saying anything along those lines, and so he avoided it because it's a legitimate question, Lou, and we talked about it earlier in the program today because he does look different. He does look like he's trying to live for the next play, okay, as opposed to... I'm going to make this play, and I know how to take the hit, and I know I'm going to get hit. I'm going to accept the hit, and I'm going to go down. He's not doing that. Even on that last play of the game, he faded to his left after Canada taking care of T.J. Watt. Got rid of him. Sent him wide. Okay? Got him on the ground, matter of fact. Brady did not have to release that ball at that time. He could have. You talked about, guys, you're trying to move. You're trying to get separation. Brady even admitted it today. He told the guys to go and get some separation out there.
I just wonder...
He had time to throw that football.
I just wonder if his desire to stay healthy and upright and not have any lingering injuries is going to come back and bite him in the playoffs.
It's a legitimate question.
Because I don't want to sit in there and throw the ball. I don't want anybody around my knees. So I'm going to err on the side of caution. You know, I'm going to throw it early, or I'm going to throw it away because I got to get out of harm's way. To me, that's a problem.
No, everybody understands that him being out there every single week is one of the great things of Tom Brady. It's one of the great things of his career. We get that.
Perfect attempt.
And I've always felt that he knows how to fall and take hits. But now it's different. And I think people can see it.
Yeah.
It's not about learning how to fall when you take a hit. It's starting to fall before you take a hit. You know, and it's, you know, he tried to throw the ball away to Gronk or Edelman, whoever the hell that was, in the interception. And if he was upright and had his feet planted in a base and he throws that ball, I'm sure it gets out of bounds. But when you're falling to your left and you're sort of throwing it on the run while you're falling, now, you know, in your mind, you think, I got to get a little extra on it to get it out of bounds.
Yeah, the mechanics all
change. Normally I'm good, but because I'm falling, I'm losing momentum. Now I got to air it out even more, and it ends up being an interception. Why? Because he's falling to the ground before he's getting hit again. And we saw it with Hogan in the end zone against Miami. I mean, this is like, you know, real stuff. They can sit there and talk about Tom Brady falling off the cliff, and Warren Moon had it like last week, and he's right. It's not about arm strength or anything else. It's about not wanting to get hit. The older you get, the less contact you want. And I just don't think he's been moving around the pocket and finding the open space like he has. He's more looking around the pocket, feeling pressure, and going down or giving up on plays before it even happens.
Because when you're older, the recovery time is a lot longer. And he's looking at it, I don't have that recovery time. So it's a great question, Christian. Will he be different in the playoffs? Or will he operate the same way that he's operated this season? Because I think we're all seeing it. And they're not going to mention it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk about it. But there is something. He does look a little bit different. And he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good.
Oh, yeah.
He's not great.
But that is I just think that's his overall philosophy moving forward.
His approach, yeah.
In order for me to get the 5 years, I can't have a Peyton Manning quad contusion. that'll slow me down, and then I have to fight through and, you know, and just try to get back into the game. And I can't hurt my neck. I can't lose feeling in my hand. That'll, you know, force me to get out of the game quicker than I want.
Unfortunately, him being good is not good enough for this team.
Correct.
Because he has been MVP caliber. He has been elite. He's the GOAT. He's a guy that hasn't lost a step. And you could argue that his last 3 years have been better than any three-year period of his career. And this year, they can't afford that. They need him to be better.
Well, see, that's the problem we're all having with this team. That if we want to look at this team over the last 4 years, this team doesn't resemble the team we saw in the last 4 years. Now, are they good? Are they okay? Sure, they're okay. They're
I think
good.
They do.
I don't. I don't think this team is nearly as good as the last 4 years. No. No way.
I think they resemble them.
What is the...
What's so different?
They don't win on the road?
No, you're talking like mentally or physically? You're talking about the roster?
I'm talking about the overall, watching these games and looking at the overall production of this team. This team is not as good as the last 4 years. This is a drop-off team. Now, in most cities, they would probably take something like this. You know, you end up 11-5, and we're okay. We make a round, maybe two rounds of the postseason. For us, it's not acceptable because we've seen better over the last few years.
Well, I'm just saying talent-wise, maybe physically, I think they resemble some of these teams past.
Tom Brady, the 12 game season, he was an MVP for 12 games. Sure. He just didn't get the award. He was the MVP last year. He's not the same. Okay, I think defensively, this team isn't as good as last year.
Well, I think if you tell me that physically, I think as far as talent wise, they had the same amount of talent. It's just that Gronk is not the same player, and neither is Tom.
I think
that's right. The biggest difference.
Okay, right, but I think it's more than that. I think last year we got maybe fooled would be the right word, into thinking that this defense was going to be fine, because at the end of the year, they were pretty good. They were pretty good in the postseason. Then we found out when they got to the Super Bowl against a high-powered offense, oh, my God. And they put 500-plus yards.
They're similar.
But up until that point, we were convinced. I'm not convinced that this team could do it. Now, I think the secondary's pretty good, but you can run at will, and eventually, if you run,
well,
and
I think
you asked the question of Bill, once you're able to run like that, you break down that secondary, right? You change the way you've got to use personnel, because you need to get back, you know, into more of a base. You need to stop the run.
Well, I just think defensively, you think this team is similar to last year's team?
Similar as far as what? Just mentality?
Yeah, no, good. Are they as good as last year's team?
As good as last year's team.
I think they're about the same.
I think
know.
They get run on maybe more than last year's team, but I think it's the same.
Last year's team was one play away from winning the Super Bowl. So are you guys telling me that this team is going to be able to go to the Super Bowl?
No, you're talking about separate sides of the ball.
Yeah,
defensively, I think they're the same. Offensively,
the total team.
Offensively, they're not.
Total team.
No.
Take the total team.
You want to change the conversation?
I'm not changing the conversation.
Good. I'm trying to have one about the defense. Is this defense the same as last year's defense that went to the Super Bowl and got exposed in a game?
This team's not as good defensively because they can't stop the run. So I can establish the run, and once I do that, I force you to change your personnel. You're going to put fewer people on the secondary.
Well, they ran the hell out of the ball. These guys ran the hell out of the ball. They put up 17 points with great weapons. So, you know.
I mean,
the point I was making originally, I was not making it. I broke it down offensively and defensively, but the original point I made, Lou, was that the 4 years before this year's team was a better team overall than this team.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm not so sure it is, and I think the biggest difference is Brady and Gronk.
Okay.
If Brady and Gronk were playing at high levels like they have in the past, I think it's a pretty similar team as we've seen.
I don't think it's similar, but I will give your point that Brady and Gronk are a big part of the reason.
So we got
that
going for us.
We do. It's a big part of the reason. And Edelman.
Where do you find
and
this?
Hold on. Edelman isn't either.
Well,
Julian Edelman isn't either. You want to go to Hogan? Do you think Hogan's the same player yet?
Yeah.
He did a Hogan thing yesterday.
Well, he did a Hogan thing against the Steelers where nobody covered him and he ran wide open for a touchdown.
It wasn't a Hogan thing. It was a Steelers thing.
It's like the same thing.
None of us have mentioned this, and I'm going to mention it today because it deserves to be mentioned today,
even though
the Steelers won that game. What the hell is Mike Tomlin doing late in the game when you can run the football and you're running at will against the New England Patriots and you want to run out that clock and you're throwing the ball to the sideline so that what? So that Antonio Brown can take it out of bounds and stop the clock?
Yeah, this is
with
why.
The lead? Are you kidding me?
See, this is a kick to the gut. Knowing that they played so bad, they gave you so many opportunities. So the Patriots only scored one touchdown in the first quarter. But after the second quarter, after Antonio Brown's touchdown, they didn't score a touchdown either.
Right.
They had plenty of opportunities. So you're sitting there going, you're shaking your head, losing your mind, because the answer is so simple. All you have to do is just be halfway decent mentally. That's it.
They had that third and nine play, that big third and nine play. They made it after a penalty, by the way, before that by New England. And then you're sitting there going, oh, my God, now they're going to be in a position to score. Now you're going to have two scores, and now you're screwed.
See,
instead, they have to go. They get the field goal. That's all they get out of you. And now all you have to do is come down with Tom Brady at 2 minutes, over 2 minutes remaining on the clock.
See,
put a touchdown.
See,
that was poor game management.
The
right
frustration
there.
For me is like, you're better than them. You're better than them.
I agree.
Top to bottom, I would say you're a better team than them.
You tweeted it out because you were talking about Pittsburgh all week and said they're dangerous because you could get them on a good day. And if you get this team, there's a lot of talent. Get them on a good day, then they can beat you up.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing is, as you said in your tweet, that they did not play well. This was not their good day, and you still lost.
That's why
the Steelers
you've gotta
were
be kicking
not
yourself.
On top of their game, and you still lost that game.
Yeah, you look at Smith-Schuster and you look at Antonio Brown. They had four catches each. They weren't a real problem. I mean, Jalen Samuels.
So what?
Was a problem with 158 yards.
Just assume that every back is going to run on you.
It wasn't a killer. That's correct. It was not a killer. All right, let's get to the phone calls. Have we reminded you that Christian was right? He had 11-5, and he was right, even though there are two games left. He's taking a bow.
I'm not taking a bow.
Two games remaining in the season. Yes, you are.
No,
said
no.
I was right.
But
he's
also, he was also impressed. Now that they've lost two straight and they've got five losses, he was actually impressed. He felt good about that.
Yeah, now it's time to move on.
It's all about you.
Time to move on.
It's all about you, Big
Now, because screw the regular season anyways.
All about you.
Who cares? I'm done!
All right, 617-779-7937 to the phone calls next.
We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier, the show that's all about sharing.
I got weed for everybody. Who wants some weed?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Let's get to the phone calls. Here's Brian in a truck. What do you got, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Brian.
Christian, you're the only one with any common sense out of the. I call you guys the Three Stooges, but Christian, I'll exempt you from that comment. Mm. But Glenn, you and your stats from the years ago about going into Pittsburgh, throw them in the toilet. You guys, let me ask you something. When you build a house, what's the most important part of a house when you build it?
The bar.
Man cave.
The bar.
Yeah, it's the foundation.
Oh, no. I don't care about a foundation.
I worry about the roof.
Hey, suppose you have a house that doesn't have a foundation. You can build a great house without a foundation.
Right. Can I make a comment, please?
What is your point? What is your point? We're not building houses. What is your point?
The defensive line stinks. You guys don't talk about it. They never rebuild it.
That's not true.
That's the problem.
Uh-oh, Christian disagrees with you.
Hold on. You said I wasn't the stooge today.
Brian, I don't know what your stooge is. Christian feels good about this loss in Pittsburgh. I want 2 week, Lou, I went back and said that they're done.
I don't, Brian. What are you talking about,
Lou? You think they're good like Christian?
No. Again, you're
not. Let Brian talk. Let Brian talk.
That's not what I said.
Yes, you did.
No, I said I feel better about the loss.
I can't hear from Brian. Brian, do you agree with Christian that he feels good about this team?
No, they won't. Oh,
then what are you talking about?
Both you guys.
Then do us a favor.
Crap.
Do us a favor. Next time, listen to the program, take a few notes, and then call us up. Okay?
Why are you so aggressive?
So you don't like
go
this
build
team?
Your foundation because I don't.
Why
I don't
so
like
aggressive?
It because I want people
you?
To at least
is,
hear what we're saying.
But this is one of those moments.
You're
where
not
you should,
even. You're not
you
hearing what I say.
Let Brian talk so we can hear what he
Screw
has to
Brian.
Say.
I'm not going to hear from Brian. He's building houses. Go to John in Connecticut. Hello, John in Connecticut.
Uninterrupted hour.
Christian interrupted him.
Today's the only one making a lot of sense.
Thank you, John. John, you have the floor.
Yeah. Thanks. Glenn, you're making a lot of sense today. This team has a lot of red flags. I mean, they have five losses to teams that might not even be in the playoffs this year. I mean, you look at years past. I mean, this team is very fortunate to play in the AFC East. They're 6-4 out of conference, and they're probably going to finish 11-5, 5-1 in the AFC East. I mean, this is not your typical 11-5 Patriots team. There's tons of red flags. The only way that the glass is halfway full is if the Dolphins, who might end up at 9-7, they'll go 5-1 in the AFC East as well and might limp in with something and they'll play them in the playoffs.
What are we talking about, your typical New England 11-5 team? They're a typical 11-5 team, but they're not. New England doesn't go 11-5. That's our problem here.
No, yeah, yeah. They go, well, yeah, they normally go 14-2. But I'm saying 11-5. This team, if they were in any other division, if they were in any other AFC division this year, they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Let me throw this premise. Houston loses next week, which I think they will. New England gets the number two seed and play the first two games at home, and then maybe you get an upset and they get an AFC championship game at home. How do you feel then, John?
This team has too many leaks in the foundation. This team is not
building houses again.
I swear, I don't think anybody listens to a word any of us
say. They don't.
No.
They're not
because this guy
anything.
Said Glenn's the only one making sense. Meanwhile, right. Glenn's putting a position together that can go to the Super Bowl. So Glenn's making sense, and he's trying to get a way to get the bye and home field at Gillette, thinking they're still good. And then this, I don't get
any of it.
When someone calls up and says, Lou, you're making all the sense in the world, I'm expecting him to just give me my opinion, the opposite of what I've been saying.
See, what about the Red Sox bullpen, Lou? Yeah.
See, I wonder, like, I feel like people kind of look at this team and they say, all right, well, they can't win it. They can't go all the way, so why bother? Like, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not built that way. Why bother?
We're not going for the emotional ride because it could be too painful.
She could break up with me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I'm going to do it before you do it. I'm going to beat you to the punch.
Yeah.
I don't like you. Well, you were really going to were going to break up with me?
I honestly feel like that's the way it is.
Not there yet. Give it a couple years, and that's when football dies in this town.
Stop it.
Yeah, Mr. Baseball here.
But I noticed the same thing last night in the postgame show. What's happening is people are pissed, but they're coming up with the most zany premises. And you're right, Lou. They're not listening to any one of us and what we're saying. We got Jimmy Garoppolo calls yesterday that Tom Brady
feels at ease
right now because he doesn't have Jimmy Garoppolo pushing him, you know, behind him.
Jimmy G is a motherfucking star.
We're hearing some of that stuff.
Nick Mullins should sign a big contract now.
By the way, don't laugh at my whole premise that Garoppolo will be back here in a couple of years.
No, stick with it.
Nick Mullins might be the guy.
Yeah, you're right. Not it.
Listen, always stick with it. You're right until you're wrong.
What stands out is the Colts. I don't know why I think about this. Like the Colts.
Squirrel.
Like that would have been. Yeah, we're almost done. Squirrel! So I figure I can sneak this
in there. What
are
they standing for?
Well, it's just it would have been the best. Like it wasn't their choice for Josh McDaniels to back out, but it was almost the best thing for them. Look at them right now. Look what Frank Reich
is doing.
Wait,
don't think Josh should be able to do this?
I have no idea. Maybe it looks differently. All I know is that they found a good coach. They've resurrected their offense, and more importantly, their defense. Their defense. It's not the Indianapolis Colts defense that you knew in the past. They're actually pretty good.
Do you notice what he does? Every week he comes in with like a new AFC
team. I said it last week. No, I'm not saying they're the team to beat.
All over Houston.
It's just funny how last year.
This week it's the Colts because the Colts impressed them.
This is the last thing he saw. And you might face them in the first round.
Houston struggled against the Jets. So he's down on them a little bit.
You are going to get smacked in your big fat face right now.
You won't.
I will do it.
Do it.
You are not. You're completely.
Go ahead.
Want me to do it?
Smack him.
Smack him right now?
Yeah. Go ahead. Is your house paid for? That was fake. Here's Rick in a car. Next up here on OMF. Hi, Rick. Hello, Rick.
Make me run.
Hey, guys, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good.
All right, listen. I want to go back to something that you guys said about, you know, this Patriots team isn't as good as they have been in the past 3 years. And Lou said, he's got that Dodge Charger.
Rick, real quick, can you just say that's so far Brent Rock is okay, but the heavy rain's coming down in about an hour? Can you just say that for me?
No.
All right.
I can vroom really good.
But all seriousness, I think what it is, what it comes down to, the Patriots are just as good as they've always have been. But what's happening here is some of these teams are getting better.
No, they're not.
They are. Come on. I mean, some of these teams are becoming contenders. Miami might make it to the playoffs.
Oh, please, come on, Buffalo last year. Guys. I mean, we've seen our team now for the last 18 years, and by now. You know when she's pretty, and you know when she's needs a little bit more makeup. Right?
I still say there's obviously mentally on the road the toughness of this team can be questioned, but I would say the biggest difference that you see right now is the play from your quarterback and tight end, and that has made all the difference in the world. They're both playing, but they're making mistakes, or they're having games that you're just not accustomed to seeing right now, within games or overall for a game. And I don't think they're that far off from last year's team. I just don't think you're getting a play from your quarterback or your tight end.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. So if you want to use your little blame pie, you're going to put a blame pie together.
I want to clarify my call. So when someone calls in and says, I agree with Lou, I want to hear.
I think Edelman's probably on that as well. Edelman is not having a great year. He's getting the crap beat out of him out there, and he's not having a great year. I mean, he's still good. I mean, that's the one thing you can say about all these guys. They're still good. But we're not accustomed to seeing good. We're accustomed to seeing Julian Edelman make the fingertip catch off the turf, and then now we're seeing him drop passes and whatever. Mm-hmm. We're not accustomed to that. Mm-hmm. Jerry's in Cali. Oh, here we go, another California guy. Go ahead, Jerry.
I enjoyed your show, and what I knew going into that game Sunday was that it was going to be very difficult to beat Pittsburgh because their backs were against the wall, and they were going to be playing like a wounded animal. It was a playoff game for them. It was do or die, and they came out and played with great intensity, especially their secondary. If you do the math, which I just did, by the way, 14 penalties in 48 minutes, that means every 3 minutes we were penalized. That's hard to overcome, extremely hard to overcome. And the other thing, too, that I noticed is that our receivers, it was extremely difficult for them to get any kind of separation. So if we want to circle back and call, incidentally, your interview with Bill Belichick, what I loved and the takeaway that I got out of that, the positive takeaway, he supports Brady's decision-making. Over the last 19 years, he said, best decision-maker in the NFL, period.
But that wasn't the question. No one's questioning his career or his resume. The question is, the last 3 or 4 weeks, is he overly cautious? Do you think so? I mean, you watch the games, don't you? I mean, I don't think it's debatable.
I agree. He is overly cautious, and I buy into that argument that he's protecting his health. But the reality is our guys are not getting separation. Look at Josh Gordon can't move. He is, and look at Gronkowski runs like he's Frankenstein out there.
It's not true.
That's not true.
None of this is true. I totally disagree. And, Jerry, when you sit here and tell me how great Pittsburgh played, I will give it to you that their secondary was pretty good yesterday. Their coaching staff and the decisions they made and the way they played out that game in the fourth quarter was horrible. And the Patriots scored one touchdown. The touchdown they scored was a complete brain fart by that secondary. To the point, you ready for this? That next-gen stats that NFL has, that Hogan touchdown, he was the most open receiver for a touchdown in the NFL this season. 23 yards of space.
By the way,
that was more space than the leader last year or the year before.
It's like Mike Evans in a two-point conversion.
Exactly.
Or Mike Williams, rather.
Yeah. This is like a three-year deal.
Like Pittsburgh. It's like, they needed it more. You knew that
they
was going to be tough. 8 pre-snap penalties. Did they cause those?
No.
I mean, the 3 huge drops, did they cause the drops? Like, you didn't play well. Did they cause Brady to throw a pick? I think Brady could have stood upright more, had his feet underneath him.
Absolutely.
And could have thrown it out of bounds. And then still managed to kind of figure out a way to take that hit, I'm not even sure if he would have.
See, that's why I felt better after rewatching it, because this is the one area where they've been really, really good at. I asked you guys, okay, what are they good at? Well, they're good at not getting penalized. They're good at not doing dumb things.
Situational stuff.
Now, they've gotten physically beat up on the road, especially at the point of attack, and I say, well, okay, I know that's them, but this, what they did yesterday, has not happened all year.
Yeah, but does that
not all year?
Doesn't it leave
not
a bad
close
taste in your mouth though when you talk about situationally and some of these pre-snaps and how things like this don't normally happen a week after?
It's a problem.
You get beat by a last second pass and nobody, or a week after Tom Brady takes a sack going into halftime, like following that Miami game when those two things, you're like, what the hell was that? And then you have followed up with this game. Nice, you see them.
Yeah, you get the, Bill didn't want to answer it, but that's what we're bringing up to him. The fact that we have now seen 2 weeks, one situational mistakes, 2 big ones, okay? And now this week, these pre-snap penalties, that where the hell are they coming from, that we never see from the New England Patriots. This is not like the team that we've seen over the last 18 years. Where's it coming from,
Christian?
Where's
it coming from? It's not as big of an eyesore as I thought it was.
Oh, glass half full. Here we go.
Listen, they're the least penalized. Before this game, they were the least penalized team in the NFL. They actually had a game where they didn't get one penalty
so
at all.
What happened yesterday? That's the question. All we care about is yesterday.
I do believe that there is a
disease.
All due respect, history doesn't matter.
I do believe that there is a sort of contagious nature to procedural penalties.
Oh, whatever you say.
There is.
This, by the way, is Christian Fourier penalties speaking. It is not Lou. It's not contagious. Me. This is Christian. So, right. Identify exactly who's making what point. All right, we get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937 next.